I don't know of anything that's more important than revealing truth, and obviously you all are dedicated to truth and getting that truth known to the people, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, who all's there with us today?
Well, we've got about 50 people in the room, probably, or 40.
Oh, maybe. That's a lot of folks, Brent.
Quite a few.
Well, Kathy and I certainly wish we were there, too, and we'd rather be giving you this information in person than have you experience it on a videotape that I don't know what the quality of it is.
It's that only time and space has us separated at the moment because we're all working towards the same efforts and definitely unified in that effort, and we're certainly there in spirit, but nevertheless, we wanted to let you all know how much we do appreciate what you're doing.
Well, on behalf of Contact, we'd like to say you're most welcome, and we're happy to do anything we can do to help, because all of us need to work together on bringing truth. And you guys have been courageous and brave enough to come up forward with this information, and we feel like it's our privilege to carry it one step further and help you distribute it.
Well, we sure appreciate that, Brent, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not an overly courageous person, and I'm not the type of individual that has felt compelled to run out and try to save the world, but I felt like I must do my part, and when I found out that no one else knew about this information that I took for granted was had trickled down through mental health over the years, and then when I found out that there was virtually nothing out there, aside from rescuing Kathy and Kelly, I became very interested in informing my fellow man because I felt like the survival of our species depended upon it. And now I'm even more assured and absolutely positive that that is and was the case. But as far as being scared goes, Kathy and I experienced something last week, not in Canada, by the way. We had a lovely time up there. Those are some wonderful people. But prior to our arriving in Canada, I had a rather secret mission that Kathy and I had been planning for literally about 6 or 7 years. And it culminated in our tracking down Kathy's so-called mirrored slave sister. Young woman in her mid-30s is still locked into her environment and her situation, but no longer as a high-level slave because she's, quote, too old.
From my perspective, the courage that it's taking her to survive to the point where someone can help her is the ultimate in courage, because I know from experience how difficult it is to exist contrary to your own will. And now that I do have control of my own free will, and it feels so good that it seems like everything that we're doing at this point is exciting and thrilling, and it feels good to be actually living and exhibiting exactly what my will is. And courage, you know, I look at that that word as something that I really can't relate to because of what I've been through in that regard. But from my mirror sister's perspective, I certainly can see a lot of courage in her for waiting so long, hoping that someone somewhere was going to make a difference. And she's definitely having to exist contrary to her free will right now, but her innate spirit, the beauty of who she is definitely intact. Mark and I both are hopeful and optimistic that something can be done to make her.
To give you guys a clue of part of what frightened me, and you must understand that I'm the most non-superstitious person on the face of the earth, at least that I've met, except of course Brent and Rick. I was a little bit overwhelmed when I did manage to track this woman down through some of my old methods, but without any support. We drove into the driveway and discovered she was living literally in the middle of a 200-year-old graveyard.
That wasn't the worst of it.
No.
The whole town was nothing but occultism of unlike anything I've even ever seen before. It was just absolutely horrible. The whole town was sat saturated in it.
I had heard of a couple of other places in the United States where this phenomenon existed, and someone had warned me about this particular place several years ago, but until I saw it for myself, I really couldn't believe that there could be a collective consciousness of Satanism existing in one place. I figured these people would annihilate each other before they could coexist, but I was wrong. They do coexist in some places in enormous clusters. So when we talk about courage, that's probably the most courageous thing that I have done since I've been alive, was to go in there. But I fulfilled a promise to Kathy and did successfully get in and get out of there with all my fingers and after my appendages. We hope in the future to be able to impact this lady's situation in a most positive way, and we gave her a book, and we were delighted that she is, in fact, was able to even read it. This is a story within a story that I'd like to relate more on to Rick and our rest of our contact family later on. I've got some information that I want to pass along in a written form that she provided that I think you all will find of extraordinary interest. And part of that is a poem that this lady wrote, literally from the depths of her soul, which reflects her victimization and everything about it, even though she has no conscious knowledge or memory of anything that has transpired in her life. It's quite moving, and I want to share it with contact in hopes that people can get an insight into the mind of a mind-controlled slave while they're still in it.
This wonderful person certainly is not a Satanist in any by any means herself, and she's always looking to God to keep her through it or to help her through it, not realizing that in the process of only being able to do that rather than take action, her children are constantly being hurt and everything else. But she's maintaining the best she can with what she's got right now, and by maintaining her faith in God, I know from experience that she will be recovered eventually, and that she can be recovered because of that. But for the moment, it certainly is a difficult situation.
By the way, when you all watch that tape today, remember I'm not insecure, and I look a whole lot better in person than I do. Here, that is my chameleon suit that you're seeing. Circumstances, is my appearance to be judged that way? I'm not even that fat either.
Well, Mark.
None of us are.
This is Commander.
Yeah, well, you are, Rick. I know. I've seen you.
Mark, I want you and Kathy to listen up a minute.
Yes.
This may be a female voice. This is old dad here. This
oh,
is
wow.
Commander. And I just wanted to hear you put your feet in your mouth. I'm a lot better looking in person, too. You're blessed. You're protected. And so are the ones that would be willing to work with you. We haven't gotten to the tape yet. We're doing that immediately following your call, because you have a brother in Germany. He is German. He has been through the identical processes that were utilized on Kathy. And I think that it's time that the two of you were hooked up just to give that support and credibility one to the other. We've been reading some of his writing because ones find it so difficult to listen and to accept the fact that such horrors can take place. And it is very sensational. And of course, it is so against all of the senses of a godly being to think that anything like this could take place, much less amongst the highest, most elite people on your globe. And it's equally important that you ones who were captured and caught into this victimization must understand it is global. It is not south, north, east, or west in the United States of America or Australia. Satanism exists everywhere, and utilizing Satanism with your national need for control of the species turns it into something even beyond the horror of Satanism. And for you children to come out and be willing to share these innermost horrendous thoughts and experiences is the greatest gift that your brothers could receive. And there will come a day when they will understand it, even if you don't. You've given a great gift, and we each give what we can. We've got to get a remnant through, and God wins this war. And we're on that team. That means we win the war.
Yes.
And you've got plenty of support.
Thank you, Commander. We feel blessed, and we truly feel as though we have an opportunity to do what we must do. And that window of opportunity is now. And even though almost 8 years have passed, it seems like it was only yesterday when I rescued Kathy and her daughter. And the man of whom you speak, Hans Greitsch, in Germany, I've been in contact with for some time now, and he represents but a growing number of physicians and other professionals around the world that were victims of this atrocity. I truly believe that by uniting the voices of people like Kathy and Hans Greitsch and some of the others that we're in touch with on a regular basis, and disseminating this information to those with eyes to see and ears to hear, that we will overcome this, because I know we're going to win.
Yes, and this is the way it has to be. It has to be a conduit. It has to be a network. And it can't be yet in that which is recognized.
Yes.
And that's unfortunate.
It's quite true, and it's very unfortunate. I would like for this to have been over 8 years ago, or if it never have happened to start with, but through the efforts of the wonderful people at Contact and through the efforts of others that we have met in our travels, I do feel like that we're rushing towards a positive conclusion. If it happens in my lifetime, so be it. If it doesn't, then I've done what I'm here to do. But I really don't have a choice, and neither does Kathy.
That's right.
And we've never considered any other choices because for our way of thinking, it's not there. It's almost as though we were under my control, when in fact we are under our own control and under the direction of God, I believe.
Living our will. And I'm deeply appreciative to Contact for unifying efforts and unifying voices like you all are doing, because it's essential in order to stop this whole destruction of humanity as we know it that is ongoing globally. They have a unified effort. We need a unified effort. And the only way to do it is to overcome what the media wants us all to do and have these racial problems and everything else, because divided we fall. But we definitely need to be united, and it is time that there's a global unity towards eradicating this horrible atrocity against humanity. And I really appreciate Contact's role in unifying voices of truth.
Well, they're having to give quite a lot of serious thought to what's going wrong with their programming and their programs. And we were able to create a miracle, if you will, on the 16th. It was planned to be a full-blown bloodbath in Washington, and you could see that it was a beautiful experience. It means that we as brothers must take each other's hand and do away with these differences in creeds and colors that nobody knows anything about and everybody speculates about. And we of God will just march right on through. We've got the bigger guns, too, if that helps.
Indeed.
And I get a lot of stones thrown at Dharma, you know, for whatever expressions I may have. But this is a serious game, and one in which we do not take lightly to losing, and therefore we always win. And some of you along the way may think you're not winning because of the massive amount of gravel thrown at you. You're going to make it. You're in protection, and you're going to make it. And you'd be astounded at who's in your side.
We understand the consequences for doing what we're doing, and we also understand that those consequences are only momentary, when in fact the rewards are eternal.
They most certainly are.
And we again, want to thank each and every one of you. And I want to extend my special thanks to Commander for bringing this group together, because Kathy and I have, we really are lonesome today, because we've been spoiled by meeting so many contact people around the country. And we can pick them out now. Easy, it really is.
It is easy.
It's the nice ones.
The black and blue ones.
Yeah, literally. But we've really felt like we have a family for the first time when we've had to lose everything so far as a family goes. We feel very much like we have a family of our very own, because we have someone we can relate to.
Our contacts are pretty easy, too, to see in a crowd, because they do stand out. I think it's that enlightened look that they have, but nevertheless, it certainly is beautiful, and it's been wonderful meeting people that are associated with contact. They are, no question about it, by far the best people that I've ever come in contact with.
Yeah.
Beautiful people.
Even the ones that are too frightened to have their own subscription. Seem to be wonderful people. Kathy and I have gone on a crusade to encourage people to subscribe themselves, because that list of names, the proverbial list of names that it would take to put them on a subscription list, or we continue to reinforce the idea that they are the most protected ones. And hopefully this will help in the future.
Absolutely, and I always let them know, too, that it's important that they go ahead and put their name on the winning team, because anybody that's representing truth is, no question about it, going to win. So they have no reason to fear putting their name on contact's mailing list. And hopefully that's going to help get legitimize the subscription, rather than people having to read them in the dark.
Really? Well, you folks, I know you all want to get back to what you're doing, and again, Kathy and I are very appreciative of this opportunity to get to just speak to you, even though we can't see you. We can imagine.
Well, speaking of which, when are you coming out to visit?
As quickly as we possibly can. And it's days like this that make me particularly homesick for not getting there. I mean, this is an incredible time that we would like to share with you, but we'll just have to do it telephonically for the moment. But soon we'll be out there. It looks as though things are changing, as I mentioned to Rick in a long conversation yesterday, with regards to where we will be doing a documentary tape or video. It looks as though it will have us on the West Coast for some time in the very near future. So one way or another, we're going to be getting back out there. We've received several offers to come out and speak in some of the same areas that we just left, except with much larger crowds. People don't become so frightened when they hear the information from someone they trust, and it seems that the information is spreading like wildfire that we've released. So we're at least accomplishing the goals, and thanks to you folks helping us develop the vehicle, Transformation of America. We feel like that now we've got a chance to exactly provide the information out there the way it should be.
Yeah, definitely. We certainly do appreciate it, and I know Mark and I both are looking forward to being out there with you all in all good time. I mean, it's inevitable. We will be there, and I'm looking forward to that day. That's going to be fun.
Brent, this is the best speakerphone I have ever heard. I wish you could get something like it at the office.
Thank you.
You do, too.
Thank you all, and have a good rest of the day.
Bless it. Okay, blessings to you.
Thank you. Blessings to you all. Bye.
You're cherished. Let's take a break, and you can set up the tape.
Now, for all of those nice people out there in tape land, the following is going to be the audio portion from an audio-visual program done by Mark and Kathy called Transformation of America. I understand that it's available. Is it available through Phoenix Source distributors? So you order it the same way as you would the... All right, I'm told that we don't have a video available, but we do have the book, Transformations. Okay, here we go.
Seriously, is because I don't want to wind up with ulcers. We're going to be talking about some very serious material tonight, and you may notice that my tone is, I don't take it so seriously. The reason I don't take it so seriously is because I don't want to wind up with ulcers. I take the problem very seriously, but as far as the information goes, this information I address from a very scientific approach. Nothing that Kathy O'Brien is going to talk about, nothing that I talk about, is out of the realm of validation. We have either hard document proof on it, or we have very credible photographs and other evidences to support each and everything that we're talking about. Our library consists of some 1,200 to 1,400 entries done from the medical field primarily. Up until this evening, Kathy and I have spent the vast majority of the past 5 years working with physicians, mental health physicians primarily, all over the United States and in certain parts of the rest of the world. Our secondary target has been law enforcement, because these are the frontline folks that are seeing this stuff and not knowing what they're seeing. What they're actually seeing in terms of mind control residual is the results of some top secret operations. They're not experiments anymore. They haven't been experiments in 30 years. They don't need to experiment. They know exactly what they're doing, and they know exactly how to do it. I'm going to be able to give you a little bit of information about my past. There's been a great number of journalists to document some things about me that, in hopes to discredit what Kathy's saying. They fail miserably because I have no record of any sort of mental health problems. I have no criminal record, and I do have a record for working for the Defense Department, and I do, hold a U.S. Department of Defense top secret clearance. I'm not at liberty to tell you what those clearances were, and I'm not at liberty to tell you what they were for. But I am at liberty to discuss those things that I was privy to as a result of personal relationships and personal research away from those sites. Now, the sites, I can tell you a few of them. Most of my work was done in mental institutions and at the Yerkes Primate Centers, both in Atlanta, Georgia, on the Emory University campus, and in Denver, Colorado. The research involving mind control research or external control of the mind included the entire gamut from the use and application of certain drugs, electronics, voltage, whether it be high or low, and in some of the other areas, just repetitive classic conditioning. We're going to try to cover as much as we can. I don't know how much you folks know about this particular topic. I am conditioned myself and more or less programmed myself to deal with physicians for a long, long time, and this is our first real presentation to the public, and it marks the very beginning, and I want to be able to impart with my deepest appreciation to our host who have brought us here and given us the opportunity to enlighten you folks on what is nothing more than a tool of what Kathy considers, and I and others as well, a tool of the New World Order. I've always wanted to know the reason for something rather than actually understand how something works. I wanted to know why it was put into a working condition, a working mode. And back when I was researching mind control and I was actually privy to the research and involved with it, I didn't know what it was going to be used for. I was told a couple of areas, one of them being espionage, the other one closely related to espionage, and that would have been corporate espionage. But I was not really apprised of its overall use, the end use. And that end use was something that at that time probably I shouldn't have even grasped. I know that many of you in this room have had personal experiences involving some tragedy in your life that might indeed be traceable back to someone who has been abused with mind control, not necessarily in a military situation and not necessarily in a clinical setting, for sure. But nevertheless, there is a reason for all of these child abductions. There are a reason for all of this, this serial killer rise. And 6 years ago, Kathy O'Brien and I sat down and hammered out, based on some numbers that we were able to get from the National Crime Labs in Washington and the FBI and some other people that were working with us kind of behind the scenes within the Justice Department, we got a hold of some facts and figures involving serial killers, and we just put a pencil to it based on what some of the physicians were reporting to us. And we found out that we accurately could predict the number of the percentage increase of serial killings in 1990. Unfortunately, our forecasting was right on target. And the next forecast that we've got for the next 10 years is so horrific that, quite honestly, if we as individuals don't get out here and do something about this by taking back control of our government, I'm afraid we're not going to be able to be talking so freely like Joe mentioned in his prayer. I believe that the last stronghold is freedom of thought, and I think that is the last and most formidable opponent that the bad guys have got to face, and they do know how to strip us of that last right. Kathy O'Brien and I have had opportunities to address all types of people. Marta Brown and Eva Vale have really given us an opportunity to address this group and several more groups all over a three-state area, I believe. And today is the first one. But it marks a very special time in our life because we have waited. We have spent 7 years really in an awful situation, dealing with law enforcement and dealing with mental health. Those are two areas that, if you think there's hysteria out in the private sector, it's much worse in those two areas because they're frontline. And some of the things that these people believe are well beyond the realm of any of our imagination as to the causes. They don't want to believe their government could do anything to them. Now they're coming around. 5 years ago, when Kathy and I were speaking, we weren't allowed to say the words mind control. I had to say the words behavioral modification or classical conditioning. And in the last few years, they are actually, the doctors and the justice system is coming around and asking us to talk about mind control. Quite frankly, if I never see another group of physicians, it'll be too soon. I did the last one I'm ever going to do on a grand scale back in March, and frankly, I don't want to do any more of those. I feel like Kathy and I will best be served in getting the word out by talking to the people, because I find out the people, just normal folks, have rationally put together in their own minds what is going on without being told, without being shown documents. I want us to be able to really think about any kind of questions that you have, and if I say anything during my presentation that you can relate to, or it creates more questions in your mind, please write it down, and I'll be happy to address it. Kathy will be happy to address all the questions. I can't answer questions from a victim's perspective because I've never been a victim of much of anything except containment and justice stonewalling by our government. But Kathy and I come from two different worlds. She lived in a world of mind control her entire life. I lived in a world of research for the most part in most of my adult life. I'm of the opinion that although our worlds were very different, we share a great deal in common. The information that Kathy will be imparting to you tonight will be from her first-person perspective. This is what she has experienced. What I'm going to be talking about is really not so much what I've experienced, but what I've researched, what I've experienced. I could be prosecuted if I talk about it. But I will say this. I was not involved in trauma-based mind control. I was aware of it, and I was aware of the research that was being done outside this country. I was aware of what was going on in Canada and in Mexico, but I was not aware of any trauma-based programs that were operational, like Project Monarch and several other projects under the MKUltra umbrella that were going on in this country, nor was I part of them. How many of you in this room, if I may ask, were aware of mind control 5 years ago? Wow. We got a lot of real thinkers here, Kathy. These people think of themselves. How many of you are aware that there are several different types of mind control? Good God. Okay. This is all really good. I'm doing this not to test your arm reflexes, but I'm actually doing it to find out where I need to be addressing from. How many of you have known someone that you suspect was a victim of either private or military mind control? Okay. Actually, I would say that everyone in this room at some time in their life has come across someone who has been controlled. Not necessarily through sophisticated methods. Many of the religious... Many of the religious groups have used various types of mind control and various types of conditioning in a very gentle, benevolent way to manage and manipulate the minds of their parishioners. We've heard of all sorts of churches being involved in some sort of level of control. I'm sure all of you know about Jonestown. I'm sure all of you have heard the media's version of what went on in Guyana. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't know what I'm talking about when I say Jonestown and Jim Jones? Anybody? Okay, great. Did you know that there are two other governments at this time that have much larger compounds in Jonestown operating right now as we speak with thousands, not just 987, but a couple of 2,000 or 3,000 in each compound. The British government has one there. These mind control experiments are not even necessary. But for ongoing research, some governments have elected to maintain these things. It's still going on. Just because Jim Jones' operation collapsed doesn't mean that it isn't still going on with other human beings. It's probably one of the most dreadful scenarios that I've ever imagined, because I wanted to know what the aftermath of Jonestown was. I wanted to know what went on after Congressman Ryan was killed. And I watched a CIA cover-up and scramble like I had never witnessed before, ever, with anything. And I suddenly began to realize that the CIA was not alone. They had other cooperative, we'll say, experiments going on within a 500-mile radius of Jim Jones' compound. The information that has surfaced over the years since Jonestown occurred, for the most part, has not reached mainstream media. For the most part, the mainstream media has treated many mind control incidences of the past with just total silence. That, my friends, is mind control. We're all victims of it, because mind control can be actually defined as information control. And each and every one of us in this room, there's not one person in this room that is not subject to that type of mind control every day. When we read our mainstream newspapers, it's almost as though there is no other world out there. If you get to the world news section in most papers, it's usually encapsulated in about 4 or 5 paragraphs that are so bland that maybe a rice crop failed somewhere, or there was a small bus accident, involving 18, 19 people. Really, this is about all we hear. I learned more about the United States after I developed a joint business venture with the People's Republic of China. And I was living or visiting and staying in and out of Beijing, China, and Hong Kong. I was learning more about my country from 12,000 miles away. And I served my country. I served what I thought I served my country. When in fact, in retrospect, even though I wasn't involved in any type of research that was hurting anybody, the fact remains that I was a part of the system, as each and every individual that is involved with a government-related job is. They're all part of the system. And that system, I thought, was a good one. Because I did not know everything that was going on. The information that is controlled and contained on most projects is so absolute that no one really has all the formula. Kind of like Coca-Cola. Now, there's a sugar water beverage that's been around since the turn of the century. And supposedly nobody has the formula. Well, I don't know if anything really tastes like Coke. Pepsi tastes somewhat like it, and some of these other beverage manufacturers produce a product that's very similar, but nothing really tastes like Coke. And I found out that the formula is a guarded secret, that no one is allowed to know all of the flavoring agents and all of the ingredients listed or not listed in that beverage. There are only one or two people. So goes with mind control research. So goes with a lot of top secret military research that goes on in our country as well as others. In this country, we've had a few years as a new nation. We've had a few years of free thinking, and we've got a few generations of free thinkers. Because these people are seeing things and reporting them. There's a lot of Mark Phillipses out there that are stepping forward and saying, well, I wasn't privy to all the research, but I did see some things. But I do know that something's happening, and I know now why, or the purpose. I did not know the purpose in 1967 of the mind control research that I witnessed. I did not know in 1987 when I was approached by a Chinese intelligence officer who told me that I had a business partner in the United States who was involved in drugs, money laundering, child prostitution, and slavery. I mean, coming from the Red Chinese, this was kind of strange. I thought they were trying to blackmail me for something, because we had just put together a $31 million joint venture I had and with my Chinese and Hong Kong partners with the Chinese military. The mining division was actually who I was working with, and mining and metallurgical division of China. But they are part of the ordnance or defense department for the Chinese government. So I was actually doing business with the Chinese defense department. And I was very, very nervous about the fact that the Chinese defense department at that time was shipping silkworm missiles to Libya. I was very upset over the fact that I was working with a government that was in direct defiance of what I thought my government stood for. But then I queried the fellow, who was a Chinese intelligence officer, and I asked him, I said, who are you talking about? I said, I've only got one business partner. I said, this guy has not got enough sense to do this. There's no way. He said, well, he does do it. He is involved. And he began to show me a file. It was the most convincing set of evidence that I could imagine. It was right down to some child pornography involving a small black Haitian boy. But nevertheless, I was absolutely convinced, without a shadow of a doubt, that what this man was telling me was true. To compound it all, he knew that I knew what he was talking about when I breached the issue of mind control. But when he told me this was of the White House, he was referring to my business partner taking women and children in and out of the White House for purposes of prostitution. Well, I have in times past wondered what presidents and kings and world leaders did to satisfy their perversions, and I did wonder where they went to get them. Since I knew about mind control issues, I should have realized then that this was a distinct possibility. I didn't. As a matter of fact, I kept the secret for 17 long years about the research that I saw. As a matter of fact, I got away from that research. And I got away from Defense Department work. Because I had seen enough to last me in a lifetime. I was technologically 25, 30 years ahead of everybody in this room, assuming that you weren't involved in that kind of research. I knew what the future would be. I was very satisfied to say that I had done it and lived through it and didn't want any more part of it. So I went into the aviation business. It was a wonderful opportunity just waiting for me. Little did I know that it walked right into the hands of the very same government that I'd left, except this time I was working for the CIA. That was something that I knew that was going on, but never really made the association that I was working with one of the largest aviation arms of the CIA. I knew that we were involved in some illegal activities. I knew that we were involved in some sort of illegal activity because we were charged with it by the Justice Department, involving a project known and not to me at that time, but a project known as Project Paperclip, which was the importation of certain scientists. You remember now, this is these scientists were operating in Italy, Austria, and Germany, primarily, before and during World War II. They were part of Hitler's war machine. They were doing research in the areas of behavior modification on human beings. I was also aware that this behavior modification research